Pavara, and I'm interviewing Mrs. Edith Rabineau at her home. Okay. Now let me ask you these questions. Okay. What's your name?
What?
What is your name?
You have of
what?
To talk a little.
What is your name?
My name, Edith Scott Rabineau.
What is your age and date of birth?
I am 88 years old. I'll be 89 this year, and I was born September 9, 1895.
Mm-hmm. Are you originally from Bridgeport?
I came to Bridgeport in 1912.
Where are you originally from?
I was originally from Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm. Okay, could you describe yourself?
I describe myself?
Yeah.
Well, I'm kind of an ancient lady. With a good mind, but a young heart and an old body.
Okay. Could you describe your family? Your family.
My family? Mm-hmm. I have one son who will be 71 in August, and a daughter-in-law.
Okay. Okay. You talked about your background. You could talk some more about your background.
My background? Mm-hmm. I am from I go back in the
1630.
Dickinson side, not on the Scott side, I go?
Both.
1630, on my father's side. Mm-hmm. And my mother came from England in 1893.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Continue. You finished? Okay. Your religion? What religion are you? Religion.
My religion? Mm-hmm. I'm an Episcopalian.
Okay. Your parents' background?
Well, I said that. Mm-hmm. My mother came from England and my father was born here.
Okay.
He was born in Hadley, Massachusetts, where I was born.
Okay. What was life growing up?
Life growing up? Well, I was the oldest of five children, and then another one was born afterwards, so I had three brothers and three sisters.
Mm-hmm. Were you employed? Were you employed?
I was employed in many places. Mm-hmm. I always could get a job at the UMC. When I was married, I was 17 years old. And in 10 months, I was the mother of a boy, and I worked. There was no one daycare, but they wouldn't take me because they didn't have room and they didn't think I needed them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, go ahead.
You want me to repeat that?
Yeah.
For many years, I worked in the stores of Bridgeport. Mm-hmm. I worked in Howland's, Dawson's, LeBord and Gelman's, were on Main Street. Mm-hmm. And I also was a traveling demonstrator.
Mm-hmm. What did you do there? What was that, traveling demonstrator?
Well, I used to demonstrate different lines of goods, new goods that came out, household ware.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What types of jobs were offered in your community, like the coastal jobs, like in the coast, the sea? What kind of jobs were in Bridgeport?
What kind of jobs?
Yeah.
Well, there was, of course, the UMC made the ammunition. Mm-hmm. That was always busy, and they made automobiles on the south end, and they had made automobile parts, like, and the castles, and there was later there was General Electric, But before that was Remington Arms over there. But I think the most interesting, when I first came to Bridgeport, was this was a seaport city. And they used to have oyster ships that came in here. And there was a lot of barges that went up the Pequannock River. They used to have tow boats from New York and bringing the barges up. And they had across from where I first lived on the lower part of East Main, there was a an iron, where they made iron things. I don't know just what they made, but they used to ship them right out by water. They didn't use the streets, they used the water side. And at the foot of Pembroke Street, there was a big dock there. Now this is from a girl who wasn't used to seeing those days. They had big piles of oyster shells, and they used to every so often the oyster boats that came in would take a big shipload of the oyster shells and take them out and plant them out in the sound.
Mm-hmm. Now, what did they use the oysters for?
Oyster shell?
Mm-hmm.
They could use them for seed.
For seed, okay.
Yeah, they put them in the water. I don't know just how evidently the oysters would take them and make houses out of them, use them over.
Okay. About your neighborhood?
My neighborhood?
Yeah. Were there many people living in your neighborhood?
Yes. There was a little court there. And it was between Pembroke Street and East Main. And I lived on the lower part of East Main. There were two new houses. And each house had four apartments. And they were made into two-room furnished rooms, and so we had eight families in each house, in those two houses. And on the next street, there were mostly small older houses. One was very old, and I lived in that one. There was furnished rooms in there, too. And I moved Coleman Street, where they were all just a few people, and it was just the beginning to have one family houses, like, but up the upper end of Coleman Street was like mansions.
Mm-hmm. Were the people friendly?
Huh?
The people, were they friendly?
Very. Everybody helped everybody else, and they were all nationalities. We had a lot of Irish people and a lot of English people that worked in they called it the plush shop. It was where they made a plush, a weaving shop.
And the material, and make coats.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was friendly. The Jewish people were friendly to me, and I knew them even after I came up on the hill here. That was 50 years ago. They had the relatives that had the store over here that was a kind of a meeting place.
Okay. Were there many black people in your neighborhood?
I'll tell you, I never knew any black people until I lived on Arneson Avenue, mm-hmm. near Miss Fanny's kindergarten. It was a big house. I don't know for sure whether there was three big apartments or whether there were six apartments, but it was a big three-story house, and they were black people there, but they didn't bother anybody. I don't know if they didn't bother me, because I don't live very near them anyway, so I can't say too much about them, but the place was owned by a black dentist.
Mm-hmm.
That lived on the east side somewhere. I don't know just where.
Okay. About schooling, about school.
Schools?
What kind of schooling was offered?
School?
The school.
Well, everything, you had plenty of schools. And of course, my son went to many of the schools, because we moved 12 times before we came up here 50 years ago. And The high school was on the Lion Terrace. And, it was on Congress Street, because the high school was built afterwards on Lion Terrace. And they had night school. I went to night school and took up typing and how do you call it?
Shorthand?
What?
Shorthand? Shorthand. What'd you write?
Typing.
Typing and what else? Shorthand?
How do you take down, you know?
Yeah, that's shorthand.
Yeah.
You wanted to be a secretary?
Well, I would have liked to have been, but you see, I had my husband work for the Mitchell Dairy for 39 years. Mm-hmm. And he worked, the milk used to be delivered at night. Mm-hmm. And so I used to have to get up in the night and give him his meals, you know. So I didn't really have a very good chance to work at too good a job. Because
your friend wants to know if you're okay.
Who?
Mm-mm.
In the grammar school, the grade schools, you had to buy pencils and paper and some books. Mm-hmm. Some were, well, in high school, you had to buy everything. There was nothing furnished, books or paper or anything. And if you had took typing or anything like that, you had to buy your own typing books and your own paper and your bookkeeping books.
Mm. Was there a lot of discipline? Like discipline in the schools?
Well, I tell you, I never had any trouble with the schools. I can't give it too much on the discipline because they were good, you know. The kids had to go to school. If they didn't go to school, they looked them up. I know that. Of course, I never had much trouble with that, so I couldn't say too much about how. Some people may have a different. For me, there was no trouble of any kind anyway, because we always had good rapport with the teachers and the principals. And one year, I taught my son at school at home, and I got the papers from the Board of Education, and they were very, very good to me.
Mm-hmm. Did most of the kids respect their teachers?
Oh yeah, they loved their teachers.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what major industries and factories were the biggest at the time?
The biggest one? Mm-hmm. Well, I think I've told you that I think the UMC and the Remington Arms and the, I know there's more that I wasn't too, you see, you could always get a job in those places because they were always busy. They had the foreign work as well as American work. And the stores were always busy Thursdays and Saturdays nights they were open. And people went downtown and they dressed up, met their friends. I don't think they ate out as much as they do now. I think there's more eating places now, but I, once in a while, like Saturdays you worked, or Thursday you would go to supper somewhere and have a little supper.
What kind of working conditions did they offer the companies, the industries?
Well, I don't know. I was brought up to work, so I can't say. I never had any trouble with working conditions. I worked at the Bassett Company one time. It was hard work, but everybody was very agreeable. Mm-hmm. But of course, you didn't make much money, and you worked quite long hours. I remember walking from the hollow to the UMC to work, and working all day over there, walking home again. But I don't remember anybody ever being anything but nice to me.
What does the UMC stand for? What's the name, the whole name of the UMC?
Union Metallic Company, I think. Mm-hmm. As near as I can remember. Because we always called it the UMC. That was
Okay. In what ways did the depression affect the businesses and your family? The depression.
Depression?
Yeah. How did it affect your family and the business?
Well, I want to tell you that we went to Springfield when my son was born. And we were there a few months. My husband had just got the job in a, where they make engines, engine shop. And one night, 5,000 men were laid off. And we went on a, we didn't have much money. And we went on a farm for 2 or 3 months, and then we came back to Bridgeport. And he worked on the trolleys for the Connecticut Company. And he had worked there before, and when he was younger, he had worked on the cars in Massachusetts, the trolley cars. Mm-hmm. And so he got a job right away. There wasn't very much money, it was hard, but everybody used to help each other. He had 4 potatoes and somebody else had something of else. Well, we gave 2 potatoes to the person and they gave 2 of something back to us and we made out. But it was, I can't say we lived so.
I've heard that even from school that many people during the Depression.
Did what?
Many people during the Depression, they didn't have enough food to eat, and that because of this, like
Well, everybody shared with everybody else.
Yes.
I never remember anybody being hungry. Mm-hmm.
But some people, they said that some people were killed. They killed themselves because of the depression, because they couldn't support their families. And there was, it was so much shame that they couldn't support their families.
I never read into that. We always found a job where we could get a dollar a day.
You're talking about 1933.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you way up there?
They used to get boxes of food,
mm-hmm.
but I never heard of anybody not being fed.
Yeah. No, they
that was when
fed.
I lived on the hill. That was the last depression. Mm-hmm. But the one I'm talking about is in 1912 or 13.
Yeah, but she wants to know about Bridgeport.
The last depression,
the Bridgeport depression.
We lived here in this house. And of course, we had bought this house. And they did have food boxes where I forgot what they used to call them, the pork boxes, I think they used to have. But they used to have bread and salt pork and beans and I can't remember what, because my husband worked for the dairy, so we never were, we always got small pay.
Mm-hmm.
But he never was out of work.
Those were the kinds of programs that were offered, like the pork boxes and everything. Anything else that was offered?
No, they had the WPA, you know, and people used to clean the streets and the.
I know the churches helped out too, because I know a lady that needed a new roof, and they let her borrow money to put a new roof on up here.
Mm-hmm.
And you hear my sister on that?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, that's good. She can remember that better than I can, because
you
I...
You can come closer if you want to. You can come closer and we can hear you better.
It's okay, she knows.
So you can be, you know. Okay, how about the family?
Uh-huh.
The family, like the whole family. Okay,
Families?
Yeah, the families. How important was religion to the family? How important was it?
Religion?
Mm-hmm, to the family.
Very, at that time. I lived in the church for years. St. John's Episcopal Church, I still belong.
Mm-hmm.
And we put on dinners and we raised money for the church. And every other church we had, no church up here, St. Patrick's was the nearest. And I brought up different children. I had one little girl who was a Roman Catholic, and the people next door to me went to St. Patrick's. They used to take her down there. But we went to church every Sunday and 2 or 3 times a week sometimes.
Okay.
Not that we were over religious, but our social life was around the church. I don't mean that we were so religious, but as I mean, we worked for the church. That was our social life. And there was a lot of societies here, different societies. And I belonged to several of them. My son, I said to Demolay, and it was a lot of, before that, years before that, I could tell you that they used to have a lot of music. And there was Wood Avenue Park, the Washington Park. They used to have band concerts, and they used to dance in the street. One thing that I remember that people didn't drink stuff like they do now. You know what I mean? Not even soda.
Yeah.
I mean, I never remember seeing soda bottles around the street or anything. Now it seems as though wherever you go, somebody's drinking soda or something, and they're not drinking something stronger. I don't mean that. I mean drinking anything. They never seem to. Mm-hmm. If you had a party at home, you made lemonade in a pitcher. You know what I mean? You didn't buy cans of it.
How about bowling? Like for a social activity?
Bowling.
You know, bowling. Was that a good thing to do at that time?
At that time? Well, when I moved up here, we had a canoe on the pond down here.
Bowling.
Well, I'm not into too much for bowling. I know that in later years they did bowling, but I couldn't say too much about that because I wasn't in bowling.
Okay.
We used to go to Pleasure Beach, and I used to roller skate. Mm-hmm. I used to like to roller skate. Mm-hmm. After work, I used to go over there sometimes on the night we'd roller skate.
Okay, back to the family in Bridgeport. What morals did the family hold? Like the beliefs of the family about, were they strict to their children? Like, did they let them go out a certain time and come back a certain time?
Well, they did it one time. They had to, everybody over under, I think it was under 16, had to be in at 9 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
But that was a certain period of time. I can't tell you just what period it was, but it was after we lived up here.
Mm-hmm.
So it may have been about 45 years ago or so, something like that.
Was there a lot of arranged marriages? Arranged marriages at the
murder?
Time? No, arranged marriages. Marriages that were arranged?
No, we didn't have any.
No?
No.
Because I've heard that, you know, in those days, that sometimes it did happen, like especially with the immigrants that came back over here. That their beliefs, you know?
No. They liked to have them marry in their own religion,
mm-hmm.
but there was no control over them because they married if they loved a person,
yeah.
regardless of what they were.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Was there a lot of segregation in Bridgeport? Segregation, I mean by like, there was like blacks here, Spanish here, or Italians, like they couldn't come together, be in the same community?
No. We were friendly.
All of you were together?
We're all friendly. I had every nationality I could remember. The only thing is, I don't remember black people. Whether it did make, I wasn't used to them and I didn't notice them or what, and I didn't live near them. I had one person that was black that I admired, and he used to work for Sears and Roebuck. He worked there for years. And he was a very helpful man. He worked on the cars. He used to put on, change tires and mm-hmm. do things like that. And that is my whole impression, really. Because as I say, that the family that lived on Arneson Avenue, I wasn't near enough to really
mm-hmm.
have any contact.
So
with.
You haven't really had any contact with segregation, like
with
where
who?
You lived? With segregation, you haven't really
segregation.
Know, known. Segregation?
Segregation?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I never had any
okay.
because As I say, I've always lived here, and all the people around here mostly lived here for 50 years. They died, and then somebody moved in, and there's black people up here, but they all mind their business, and we
They're
mind
all
ours.
Neighbors. Okay. All neighbors.
How large was the average family? Like, how many kids they have?
There's not many around here. You mean around here?
No, Bridgeport, the time when you were
Bridgeport?
Growing up.
Well, I can't really say. Because some people had large families and some had only one and two.
Mm-hmm.
I had one.
Okay.
They kids went to dancing school. They usually was only about two, maybe three.
In Bridgeport, did the family own a car or radio or TV? Did they have like those possessions?
Well, when do you mean?
When you were growing up, like was
in the early days?
Yeah, in the early days.
No, I don't think they did. I was before TV days anyway. I can't say too much about that because
we grew up with a piano.
Oh.
Yeah, we had pianos and the kids played instruments. I guess every kid played. Used to in school they either had a flute or or something. I mean, it didn't necessarily have to be a big instrument, but they were interested in music. I had, at one time, I had 17 children that I taught piano. And I didn't only teach them piano, but I taught them music, mm-hmm. so that they knew the history of it, knew the writers, the songwriters, different operas and things like that. I taught them all the way through. There were no buses up here when we moved up here.
I'm talking about Bridgeport.
No, but I mean up here, there were no buses.
Okay.
And downtown, I tell you, they used to have one place. I know they used to have a school where they taught them to speak, you know, like a speech school. And I think everybody in all the schools they had, as I say, they had some kind of musical instrument, even if there was a comb with a cover over it.
Okay. Were women segregated, or like, how were they, not really segregated, but discriminated against?
Well, that would be hard for me to say, because I'm an agreeable person, and I don't know whether they were or not. I couldn't really say, because I mean, I always got along, and I...
But did you see other people, like other women discriminated against, like in Bridgeport, or jobs, or the husbands, they wanted them to stay home and have a lot of kids? Did you want them to work or anything like that?
No, I really never did.
No.
I can't say there wasn't, because but we belonged to clubs, and women used to put on plays and do things like that. Mm-hmm. I don't remember about the work, because the ones I worked with, they were always, I mean, maybe I wasn't so ambitious as some people, because I was too busy.
Mm-hmm. Did Bridgeport have any ghettos?
I'm trying to think. I don't remember. They probably did. I think maybe, I don't know. I can't really say that they did. They probably did. I wouldn't say there wasn't, but I wasn't aware of them. Mm-hmm. I mean, it wasn't talked about. If there was, not enough for me to. Mm-hmm. I was so busy with my own life that, you know, that, and as I say, I got along with everybody. I Italians or Jewish or Greeks or Spanish. I didn't know any Spanish people. I just can't say that. I don't remember any of those, but I remember Polish people. There was a lot of Italian people. In some places there was quite a few French people. And I say German? It was German people. I knew very nice German people. Everybody was good to me. This has always been a good city to me.
Since there were a lot of immigrants in Bridgeport, did they get the same jobs as people who lived here before? Like the same jobs, the same treatment?
Well, when we came back?
No, see, since a lot of immigrants were in Bridgeport, immigrants from other countries,
did they
get the same jobs like as people who lived here?
Well, if they can qualify, they did.
If they can qualify?
Yes, if they were qualified, I'd say they did. I don't remember any discrimination of that kind at all.
And the Greek people had beautiful restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what I remember that.
Fruit stands.
Mm-hmm.
I think the people that lived under us when we lived on Madison Avenue, they were Greek people. They were very nice.
Okay. I also heard a lot about the brass industry. Was it very popular, the brass industry? At one time it was very big. Brass in Bridgeport, brass industry. They made brass piping.
I don't remember.
It was piping, I'm not sure. But you don't remember anything about brass industry? The brass industry.
The black?
Brass. B-R-A-S-S.
You mean...
Brass. Oh, yes, it was a big, the Bridgeport brass was a big...
Oh, the brass company.
Yes.
Yeah, that industry, was a company.
Oh, that was there a long time.
Yeah. That was a big place.
Sure, they had, up in Waterbury, they had a part of it, you know, all around. They had different, they're all related.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
So it was really big, though. It was really
big. Yeah, very big, very big.
Oh, yes, they were.
It was a major source of employment.
But
that
what?
Was one of the biggest major sources of employment.
Yeah, I think so. Mm-hmm. Big employment. Yeah.
Yeah. They used to work nights, even.
Mm-hmm. During the war, they did.
I used to sometimes pick up people who lived down the hill. There were no buses. I used to pick them up in the car and take them. When I took my husband to work, I'd pick them up on the street to take them to work.
Did any of the black kids, the Jewish kids, the Italians, did they interact together? A lot of the different racial, the kids?
I couldn't say because my son was too old then. And as I say, the ones that we had here, there was Scotch, a lot of Scotch people up here on the hill, English, and what were those people down the hill? They were Polish, weren't they? You know who I mean?
Yeah,
Polish people, and Irish. And we all
black people.
We all. I don't remember any black people until. Do you remember any before they had the terrace over there? That's just not too many years ago. Because when I moved up here, that was all rocks. We used to walk over there, cross over the rock. And I never saw anybody do any the black people. I mean, I never saw anybody discriminate the. I had a paper boy, and he had an aunt that came up from New York here, and she was delightful. She always used to, she even brought me, they brought me something, some cold drinks, and I told her that we had to drink that stuff, so she, you know, to give it to somebody that could use it.
Okay, if you had a choice to live in the past, again, when you grew up in Bridgeport, when you were younger, would you live there? Would you say, I want to go back and grow up there again, or would you live in the present?
No.
I live in the present. I love it here.
Why?
I love it because I know everybody, and everybody's my friend. Mm-hmm. And everybody is, I don't think we're intimate-like, you know what I mean, but we're friends and neighbors. Mm-hmm. And if I was in trouble, I don't think there's anybody on this side of the hill that wouldn't help me.
Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't you live down back in Bridgeport when you were growing up? Was it hard for you to grow up there?
Well, because I like it here.
Mm-hmm.
I like the open spaces. When I moved here, there was only one, two, three houses, I think, on the street. Three houses on the street. That was a big pasture land out there, mm-hmm. with cows. Across the street where they used to raise turkeys and eggs and cows they used to milk. And there was no houses over there. This was country.
I mean that if you would grow up, if you were young, if you were a little child, would you grow up here, like in this present, where I'm growing up now, or would you go back and grow up like the way
no,
it was
I'd
when
grow
you were
up
old?
Now, with your yeah. generation. Mm-hmm.
Were you up with our generation?
Yeah. What?
You would grow up with our generation? Would you grow up with our generation?
Yeah.
Okay, why? Yeah. Why? Because we have more things to offer, or is it
more
easier for us?
No, because I'm happy here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm happy here. I have a little yard, and everybody, the spring, we have dogwood, azaleas.
Would you rather grow up in your generation or this young lady's generation?
Would I grow up?
Yeah. I would rather grow up in her generation than my generation because...
Well, I think there's more opportunity now.
Yeah, more privilege. You know what's going on.
Not only mm-hmm. that, I think you have more opportunities if you to take advantage of them.
Mm-hmm.
Because
you know where to go and get them.
When I grew up, if you had a couple of years of high school, you had a good education. And I happened to be fortunate to be inquisitive enough to be self-taught and to go to, like they had classes in different things, and I'd always attend them. But now the opportunities are open to you. They tell you about them. In my generation, you had to look for them. They might be in a church or a private group might have it, but you had to apply yourself. Nobody was looking for you or opened any doors for you to do anything.
How about the people? Have the people changed? Are they nicer or are they meaner? Or
well, of course, I have only one objection, which I suppose I shouldn't say.
Go ahead.
But I think that ethnic groups are more apt to keep to themselves now than they did in my day. I think that people, I don't know, I was anxious to learn their way of living, and they were anxious to learn my way of living. They showed me, like I never knew any Jewish people till I moved here, and they taught me about their religion, talked to me and told me different things so that I learned, you know what I mean? It's the same way with cooking and dancing, and I had one friend, a Russian friend, Mrs. Glasgow, I don't know, she was quite well known in Birchport here, and she was a white Russian, and she was a wonderful person to know. She was so educated and told me so many things, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But if you didn't sort out these things, nobody would tell you. I mean, they didn't have groups like now they have groups. And I think the kids of this generation have a wonderful opportunity to learn about other kinds of living. And then I think with knowing other kinds of living, you learn to live yourself better. I really do.
Well, thanks a lot. It's been a pleasure interviewing you, and thanks for your time and
all the
information you gave me.
I've been happy to talk to you, and I hope I helped you a little.
I'm sure you did. Okay, thank you.